This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It sure is, isn't it? God, talk about being backwards. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Funk Friday. First show of the new year.
Yeah, man.
Happy New Year to you, Randy. How are you?
All good over here. What's happening, man? All good, man. Happy New Year. Good to have you back up in the house. Oh, look, discombobulated right now. You know, you still having a little prep time to say what's happening. But what's happening, man? Good to have you back up in the house, man. Appreciate the last few days filling in and all those different things. Weird. That day off in the middle of the week, then coming back to work. Just a weird thing, especially when you stay up all past midnight.
Were you up late last night?
Yeah, dog, I was up late last night, man.
What had you up
and
late
I'm talking
last
like,
night?
Dude, got in the bed, didn't realize my child was in the bed. Like, I'm thinking it's my wife touching me. Look down at his little bit ass, just sleep up under the damn comforter down by my legs.
What a disappointment.
What a disappointment that was. But yeah, man, how was your time off?
It was fine.
It was good.
It was fine. It was sick kid for half of it. Christmas was beautiful. You know, the kids are certainly loved by their grandparents, and their grandparents show it by supporting the local economy. They really, really did a good job of getting our kids every possible thing they could possibly ever want. So good.
I'm
happy to know that they're loved.
Now,
I don't know what we're going to, again, I've said this multiple times after multiple holidays, we're gonna have to build a new wing on our house or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, that was fun. It was good. Good to get a little bit of time off and relax. I will say, like, so much stuff happened over the last week that I was like, well, that'd be fun to talk about.
Yeah.
No, all right, I'll save it. Well, that'd be fun to talk about.
Right.
No, I'll save it.
Right.
So there's a lot to get into. And it is Friday, like you said,
man.
Which is weird. Back for a day and then a weekend and then we'll be back on Monday. Obviously, the college football playoff, three games yesterday, won the night before that. And it ended with the most entertaining game of the four, that's for sure. Obviously, didn't end the way that you or Georgia fans wanted it to. And there's a lot to get into given the way that that game went. But just from a college football fan perspective, what a show.
What a game.
And what an incredible football game that was last night.
I always hate that when I say what a game when Georgia loses, because they always lose when I say, damn, what a game. You know,
they won a lot of those, too.
We won a lot of them. But, I mean, last night it was apparent that, you know, and I kept saying this, Buck, while you were gone, like they have something in Ole Miss that gives Georgia problems, that kind of quarterback.
Yeah.
And he was freaking amazing last night. Mm-hmm. He was freaking amazing. They were amazing because you got a team that's playing for something, meaning they want to I mean, I saw the day that Lane Kiffin got his bonus for them beating Georgia last night, but I just thought the second half, and one thing about Ole Miss, they got their coach.
Mm-hmm.
They got their damn coach, man, because the way he got after their ass was amazing, and they just physically whipped Georgia in the second half.
Yep.
Their defensive line played on the other side of Georgia's offensive line, and we just couldn't do anything about it. I thought some of the play calling as far as the run plays, those long developing run plays that usually are for Nate, he was going with McCrary and the other guy, I thought that was, you know, like, Bobo, let's just go straight at him. And I don't think Gunner played his best game. I think Gunner left a lot of yards. He looked like early season Gunner, getting out of the pocket too soon, not letting the routes develop and things like that. But, I mean, ultimately, I mean, Ole Miss just took the game. They came and whipped Georgia's ass.
Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff that happened that we'll get into over the next three hours. Number one on the list is Trinidad Chambliss played better than everyone else did. Like, his second half performance was...
It was like Gunners when they played in Athens.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah, it was like that. It was one of those ones that you see great quarterbacks have where it's like, all right, this guy's just in a zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not really any... All you can do is try to keep him off the field.
Yep.
And Georgia actually did a pretty good job of that after that, you know, and we'll get into it, that odd decision to try another fake punt.
What are we doing?
They weren't even supposed to snap it, which would have made more sense.
It's not even that, Bunk. It's like, Just kick it.
Just kick it. They're not going to jump offside.
Yeah, just kick it.
Like, we're getting real. And that, to me, more than anything, if you're sort of digging into some of the nitty gritty of what went wrong with Georgia, a lot of like early career Kirby type stuff last night too, which you kind of had felt like he had grown out of, but there was a lot of overcoaching going on last night from Kirby Smart.
Yes.
And just, you know, like the final minute or so of the game when they got it, I mean, it looked like they were going to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get the ball back and they're moving the ball down the field and they're in the red zone and there's, you know, they have control of the thing. And on first down, Gunner keeps it and they're, what, a 3 yard line or whatever it was, 5 yard line, mm-hmm. they're right there. Just run that three
times.
Run it three times. Yes. Make them use timeouts. If you give them the ball back in a tie game, at least there's 15 seconds, 10 seconds left on the clock. With the way Trinidad Jambos was playing,
he would have made a comeback with 2 seconds.
And the way that damn kicker was kicking, that guy was going to make it from 75.
Yes.
Like, you can't leave them any meat left on that bone. And that was what was so strange, because Kirby's usually so meticulous about that kind of stuff.
Right.
And there was a lot of little things like that last night where it was like, ugh. Come on, man. Yeah. Like, that's not as tightened up as you need it to be. And ultimately, it came back and bit him in the ass.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you get an opportunity to get off the field. And then, you know, you let Trinidad do a 360 whirly burly. Great throw by him. But yet, you're right there. KJ, just tackle him.
Yeah, just tackle him, KJ. You don't have to try to knock him into next week,
just
man.
Just tackle him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there. Just tackle him, you know. And then, I mean, you had opportunities to get him. He's rolling around making plays down the field on these, you know, and that's ultimately what happened. But, yeah, you get the tie and everything like that, and all you got to do is get a stop, and you get beat one-on-one.
Yep.
And that was the thing about me. I was like, just play back.
I know.
Just play back.
Even that's a little bit. Why are you playing that type of defense in that moment?
Yeah, just play back, all right? They have no timeouts. They had one time. Keep everything in front of you. And then, you know, if he is going to kick a 70-yarder, then he just kicks 70-yarder.
Look, if the guy makes a 70-yarder and you lose on that, you lose on that.
Yeah, but I think that was the key to me. But I just thought overall Ole Miss just played. They outplayed us. They outcoached us. I don't think the time off had nothing to do with it. I just think that.
No, but I do think Ole Miss benefited from playing Tulane.
Yeah.
Because it was Golding's first game.
Yeah, it was.
So they got 60 minutes to kind of I mean, what? They were going to beat Tulane either way, but I just feel like there's just something about kind of getting all that stuff, hearing him in the headset,
you could be right.
Getting ready for
especially
it.
Especially for them, like you said, with the new voice and everything like that, because you saw it at the end of the second half. I mean, in the first half, you're like, oh.
I don't think that's why Georgia lost or why they won, but I think it was beneficial for Ole Miss to have that type of game with him there against Tulane and sort of get, I don't know, just get the reps in and then get in that. Yeah, but no, I mean, it was I heard a lot of that, what you just said, and read a lot of that at the end of the game, that Ole Miss outplayed him and outcoached him. And, yeah, I mean, they won the game. But had Georgia scored a touchdown on that final drive and ended up winning 37-34, that wouldn't have felt inappropriate to me.
Right.
Like, that would whoever won that game last night deserved to win the game last night. That's the type of game that it was. And when you're sitting there in the fourth quarter and Georgia goes down 34-24, right, after they sort of they made that strange decision on fourth down and immediately Ole Miss scores a touchdown, still, like, I know they had all the momentum and the place is going crazy. It looked like a Ole Miss home crowd.
Yeah, man.
Pretty much.
Hey, it showed up.
But it still is like 10 minutes left. It's Georgia. Like,
that's what I mean. I wasn't worried
about
that.
All right. They're going to be able to get back in this game. And they did. And that's why, like, whoever ended up with whatever, it was three more points, I guess it was five because the safety on the lateral, I didn't know that was a rule.
Yeah,
learned that. Learned a bunch of rules last night in the final 10 seconds of that game. Look, Ole Miss made the plays at the end, and maybe Georgia made a mistake or two also, but whoever won that game deserved to win that game.
It was a great game. It was. It was a classic. And I thought that, you know, that again, Ole Miss, they took the game. They got the momentum back, and Georgia just couldn't, you know. And then I thought, you know, you were like, and like, damn, you get a fake punt, get the momentum back, you only get three.
I know.
You know, and that was a key thing. You only get three from
that.
There was a lot of effort just for that. Just for that, to get the three right there.
And it was like a little 5-7 minute chunk of game where Georgia, they pulled off that fake punt just to get three. They stoned them at midfield on fourth down and didn't get any points out of that. And there was just a lot of like, that's big Ole Miss. That's big for Ole Miss to not surrender points. Oh, it's big for Ole Miss to only give up three after that fourth. You know what I mean? Like, there was just a lot of really like, all right, that's good. That's good, tough, like hard fought. We'll take only giving up three at that point. And for Georgia to only would they get it out to, like, 24-19 or something like that? I mean, honestly, you know, when Georgia scoops and scores and goes up 21-12, it was like, all right, here we go. Right. Like, that kind of feels like, with the way that the offense is playing, kind of feels like Georgia's going to be able to take control of this game. But the way that they took their foot off the gas pedal at the end of the first half.
And that was the thing.
That didn't make any sense.
I was like,
either.
Stay aggressive. What are we doing?
Yeah, that was confusing.
Like, what are we doing? What are we doing, Kirby? You got it. Go. You know, and that's what I'm saying. That's old Kirby it is. You know, you're like, what are you worried about? That was my thing. Like, are you worried that they're gonna come back and score? What are we worried about? Why don't we just, you know, keep the gas pedal going on this team, because it's a dangerous team with this quarterback. And I thought, you know, they did a better job running the ball this game, talking about Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And I just like Nate Frazier, was he healthy the whole game? Because it's like, why do you keep taking him out? This dude's getting 8 yards a carry. And I'm talking about 8 yards a carry going straight.
And running
hard as hell. Why are we going away from that?
I know.
You know, it was just a weird coach game by Kirby.
Yeah, it was.
And Bobo and Schumann. And again, credit to Ole Miss because they made all the plays.
Yep.
They're so united because they're all wanting to stick it to Lane. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says.
Absolutely.
They want to stick it to him.
And they should. They should want to stick it to him.
And they are playing their ass off. And that's going to be a hell of a game out in Arizona with them in Miami.
No doubt.
Because that damn Hurricane, I said they will win. Oh, yeah. That damn defensive line.
Yeah. That's an NFL defensive line.
Yeah. And damn Indiana. Okay.
Yeah.
We're
all there now, right?
They hit hard.
And they're fast.
And they're like, dude, them dudes were not getting, like, I ain't never seen Alabama just get their ass whipped.
Neither have I.
They whipped Alabama's ass yesterday. Yeah. I mean, it was a straight up.
Georgia did it to them in the SEC championship.
We beat them down,
too,
but they were knocking the hell out of Alabama.
Yep, they were.
He knocked out Ty Simpson. Yep. And everything like that. I mean, and then obviously, you know, that damn Oregon, I mean, Texas Tech offense. I didn't know it was
Yeah, that's something we talked about throughout the year was like Texas Tech certainly has a lot of good players. And that defense is legit. And their defense played good yesterday.
Boy.
That Texas Tech defense
gave
them a chance.
That D-line was going at it
yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, you know, when we kind of saw that they might be in the mix as October was kind of playing out, it's like, I don't know. Like, they're really good. I don't know if I trust that quarterback to be like a national championship type guy. And I don't know. Their backup quarterback who blew out his knee, unfortunately, in the middle of the season, I thought gave him probably a better chance to win in games like that because it's a little bit more dynamic. Obviously, he's not available because he got hurt earlier in the season. But, yeah, no, that proved to be the case. That offense is not up to the task.
No.
Because they were awful.
Yeah, man.
They were just awful.
Like, and Oregon wasn't playing great.
Played okay.
First.
Yeah,
like,
they played okay.
Well, whatever, man. But yeah,
their defense played good.
They did. But I mean, down the stretch, you look, Ole Miss overcame some stuff. They missed a blatant face mask, new face mask, there, personal foul face mask. They missed that. Pass interference, a couple of them, you're like, eh.
Dude, poor number 14 was about to be like the most hated player in Ole Miss history.
Yeah.
Although that second one probably saved a touchdown.
Yeah, it did.
Because Colby was coming
wide open. But that was the thing about it. And then you looked at Ole Miss, like 2-7, he's a young player playing the star, replacing Aguilar. That was a hold on a touchdown run, obviously.
It was.
But they were picking on his little ass. Mm-hmm. They really, really were. And he was giving up plays. But I think, just a hard-fought victory for Ole Miss, man. I give them a lot of credit because they came in, they had a plan, and they were able to overcome – you know, Georgia getting to the hot start, like you said, the scoop and score, you know, and able to get the momentum. But then Georgia just, like, backed off of it. Like, why? Like, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? A team will keep going against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they'll keep going against you. Like, just go, Kirby. Just go. You know, and it's unfortunate, you know, that we lost the game. And it's one of those things where it's 30 in a row to come in here after a loss when we lost to Notre Dame last year. It's like, it's a weird-ass game to lose. And then the year before that, when we, you know, the Alabama thing and the SEC championship. Yeah, I mean, they should have overturned it, but it is what it is. But this right here is like, damn, that was just such a great game. And if we could have just did that.
Yep.
You know, we could have did just that right there. It's like, okay, we're going to Arizona to play Miami, but we just didn't do that.
Yeah.
And that was the part that I was like, damn, we just didn't do that.
Yeah, and that's what it is, right? I mean, that's where we're at right now in college football, where if it's one or two things – you're probably not going to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to win your one score games in order to keep going, and they're going to find you at some point. I mean, I know Indiana beat Alabama 38-3, but to feel like the Oregon game is probably going to be a little tighter than that. When they played them last time, it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Probably will be again. I know it's the morning after, so everyone's still hurting and feeling it, and I get it. But, like, even in the 3 years since the national championship, Georgia's 36-6, been in the SEC championship game all 3 years, won it twice, and is in the playoff. Like,
Georgia's
you have fine. A seat at the table every single year, which is kind of what it is in this era.
Yeah, Georgia's fine.
They're fine. Totally. Yeah. You get in the dance and try to make those plays next time.
That's the most important thing.
The other thing about it is, now, I don't know if this matters. It's a young team, and in normal college football, you'd be like, all right, it's a young team. They learned a lot from this. They'll come back. Who knows?
Yep.
Who knows who's coming back?
The portal
portal's open today. Yeah. Half those guys might
like
play for...
Like I said, 500 are already in it.
They might play for Missouri now. Yeah. Who knows? I have no idea. All right. This first hour of the radio show is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course. Atlanta Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back and tell you what's trending here on a Funk Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's an incredible college football game. It's what the CFP was built for, to have battles like that. And that was basically every conference game we had this year. I felt like every game was like that one, back, forth, plays being made all over. And a lot of credit goes to Ole Miss. The defensive improvements they made, they played much better and tougher and more physical on defense, created some problems for us. And their quarterback is just incredible. I mean, he does an unbelievable job of not giving up sacks and making plays with his legs. And they made, you know, more plays than we did. And I got to be honest, that's part of football. They made more and out-executed us, out-coached us, out-played us. But I enjoyed that game and that atmosphere. I am proud of our team. I'm sick that we lost, and there's things I would love to go back and do differently, but I'm just so proud of the way our guys competed when down 10 and just didn't finish it.
Yep, that was it.
There's nothing to add.
There's nothing. There's nothing. Everything that he said was right on. I mean, Ole Miss, their defensive line just owned Georgia.
Yep.
I mean, and I don't know, if Drew Bowe – it didn't matter who was playing the offensive line for Georgia. They were getting after our ass. And they were playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And so, but still, we had opportunities, to make plays. Like Kirby said, I just thought Gunner got out too early. I mean, there were guys open. There were guys that were open for big plays, and he just wasn't trusting what he was seeing or whatever. Like he was saying, like Trinidad, he's the guy that, like I said, when you were gone, I kept talking about, like, but they got him. And they got this guy, and he's a guy, he's the type of player that gives this defense in Georgia and Bama that run that same kind of scheme. He gives them problems with his ability to move and everything. You had him so many times, and all he did, the defensive lineman, all you got to do is grab him. And he sees it the last second and spins away and goes the opposite way. And then does a little flick to the guy. And all you got to do, if you're KJ, KJ got hurt in the play, just tackle him.
Yeah,
that
was the play where it was like, oh.
Yeah, just tackle him.
He's kind of operating on a different level right now. Like the little backhanded flip. It's like, oh, that should have been. Because it kind of felt like at that moment, Georgia's defense was getting a little bit more.
We were getting there.
And Trinidad was like,
and
no.
And he was like, no, I got this.
No, I got
and then
it.
He just, I mean, just amazing play. Amazing player. A guy who, when we were talking about Willie Pippen, or whatever that dude was in baseball, you're like, okay, is he going to. Is he gonna get his? What's the boy's name? Simmons or?
It's Simmons, yeah.
Yeah, is he gonna
Austin
get
it? Simmons?
Austin Simmons.
I think?
Is he gonna get his job back? And not from this little guy.
Nope.
This dude, that dude was amazing and everything like that. Hopefully, he gets another year to play. I don't know if they'll, the eligibility and all those different things. But yesterday, he was freaking amazing, man. He was, and Georgia didn't have any answers for him. And when you look at, just going forward, I mean, you said this is Georgia ain't going up. We'll be back in this same situation again next year.
Yep.
But you're going to see the turnover of who's coming back and who's not. You know, a lot of these young players, because we had probably the second youngest team in the SEC or whatever, you know, and a lot of those guys got their first amount of playing time, especially a lot of those guys in the secondary. But you do lose guys. You're going to lose a player like C.J. Allen. But there's a C.J. Allen on the team right now.
Probably.
You know what I mean? That we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you're going to have the depth and all those different things. But, yeah, it just sucks that you had to be on the other side of that great game.
Yeah,
you know that's the thing I thought about. I was like, damn, what a great freaking game! But at the same time, you're like, damn, I hated it was my squad that had to be on the other end of that. But
because they had the graphic last night, like Georgia had been on the winning end of it so many times this year, where they've been down in the fourth quarter and you had to make this play, this throw, that fourth down throw against Tennessee, obviously the 17-0 fourth quarter against Ole Miss, when kind of the season started changing.
Yep.
I mean, look, it's when you're in game after game after game like that, and Georgia hadn't been for about a month now, right? They had really kind of figured it out and been handed it to their opponents. You're in a lot of those games. It's hard to win all of them.
Yeah,
you know, kind of the same we talked about last year with the Washington Commanders or the Bears this year or whatever. Like even the Chiefs last year. Like you're in those one score fourth quarter games, and it takes not a miracle, but it takes making all of the right plays in order to win it, and playing talented teams in the playoff, man. And now look at Ole Miss. They're in the Final Four. They've won two playoff games, more than Lane Kiffin has in his coaching career.
Yes.
And I got to think, like, because his whole reason for doing what he did, beyond wanting the attention and more money and all of that, was his belief that he had a better chance to win a championship somewhere else than there.
Yes.
I mean, they look like they got a pretty good chance to win a championship.
Yeah, man. Again,
more games than they're champions.
They have a purpose, man, and meaning that.
And maybe that's what it took.
And they have a unity of against him. Like, oh, you didn't think that we were good enough for you. You had to go and you know leave us in the middle of the season and everything. And I don't think Lane wanted to leave, but yet at the same time, you know, with the calendar the way it is and things like that, he had to do his thing. But, yeah, they are first of all, I said it earlier in the show, they got their coach. Golden is –
he's unflappable.
Yeah, he's a damn good ball coach. So they got their coach. And hopefully, you know, they're going to have another game plan because they're going against that damn Miami man. I'm just telling you. And Carson, I thought Carson played good.
God, it would have been fun to see Carson Beck versus Georgia.
Oh, dude.
God, that would have been a great story. It would have
been great. It would have been great.
God,
that
would have been awesome.
It would have been an awesome story, man. But, yeah, again, we were the LeBron in this one. You remember when they had all those Kobe LeBron commercials back in the day? Orlando beat Cleveland.
Oh,
remember those
stories? Because you were going to get the matchup.
Yeah, LeBron and Kobe in the finals. That's just what that was right there. Yeah, Georgia didn't answer the bell. And, it came down to a last-second kick, and like you said, that kicker was not missing.
Dude, that guy.
He was not going to miss a kick. And so, I mean, 55 with room to spare.
Yeah, 55 and 56 in that game. He set the record and then broke it.
Yeah, he was gonna kick. Right. He was gonna make it from 60.
Yeah, I know. It's funny too. Sometimes you watch these games on, I guess it was Thursday, but Saturday. You know what I mean? These college kickers, and it's like these NFL teams can't find a kicker. We got guys in college just drilling it from 56, no problem.
Yes.
Somebody sign him. Like, that guy looks like he knows what he's doing going into next year. As for the other playoff games you mentioned, Miami wins in pretty impressive fashion in the Cotton Bowl, 24-14 over Ohio State on New Year's Eve. Five sacks, two interceptions on defense. That defense is so serious. They're so good.
I'm talking about flying around. And I thought Carson was really good. And I'm not telling you, you can look at the stats or whatever. I'm talking about everything that he didn't. When he needed to run, he took off.
Mm-hmm.
He was decisive when he did it and everything like that. They were able to run the football later on in that game. And, I mean, they were hitting Ohio State. Now, the Ohio State was hitting. That was a physical-ass football
game. Yeah, it was.
Like, and for Malachi to get two bounces back, fumble and bounce right back in his hands. That happened twice, Bunk. You know, they were out there popping pads. You know, but yeah, Mario Cristobal. We kept saying we don't trust him. Trust him. Can he get it done? I think that's the biggest thing with him is that he built that team to win these type of games. They're big as hell off on offensive line, and they're fast, athletic, and knock the hell out of you on the defensive line, man. So yeah, it's going to be Ole Miss is going to have that going to have their hands full with that defensive line.
Oregon beat Texas Tech 23-0. Tough way to go out for Texas Tech. Still a great year though. Like feels like they built a foundation now on where we have the money, we have the resources, we have the passion. They got to go get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Probably going to be named Dylan Raiola because just seems like That's what that kid wants.
The portal's open right now. And so I know that it was a thing where it was like, no, he won't be there and all those. That was when the first rumor started coming out about that. No, there's no way he's going to be at Texas Tech. They're not interested in everything.
Maybe they might not be.
Maybe they might not be. I don't know.
He is.
He is, though. He is. And no, they're going to go out and get a top market quarterback.
Anyway. I heard this morning that the top market guy, whoever it might be, is going to get like $6 million in the portal. All right.
Is that going to be like quarterback or guy?
Quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Quarterback.
Who is that guy?
I don't know.
I saw the kid from Cincinnati. A lot of people like him.
Uh-huh. Him. Oh God, who's the other guy?
Levitt out there.
Levitt, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Lagway.
Lagway.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I see Rocco looks like he might end up at Penn State, which is not surprising.
That would make sense with Matt Campbell going there. And then Indiana embarrassed Alabama in a way that – I don't think anybody's ever seen. I mean, certainly it was Alabama's worst bowl loss ever.
Yeah.
38-3, and it was not that close. No. Like, it was an absolute destruction of Alabama. Indiana's serious, man.
Indiana's a real deal, man. They're a real deal. And not like they haven't been all year. You just had to see it.
Yeah.
And what I saw, I was like, oh, hell, who's going to beat this team?
I don't know.
You know, because they are physical. Mendoza was great yesterday. They ran the hell out of the ball. But the one thing they did, they were putting pads on Alabama, man. They broke Ty Simpson's ribs, knocked him out of the game. I mean, they were putting pads on people. And that was the one thing about it was how they were just the more physical football team, the faster football team, the better coach. They're well-coached football. Cignetti's a damn good coach.
They might be the best coach team left.
They are. He's a damn good coach.
That's a tight ship,
man. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, I mean, they come in here to take on Oregon. Obviously, they went and beat Oregon in Eugene earlier this year.
Oh, that's going to be here.
Yeah.
So much yellow and green.
Yeah.
We went down to the Silver Comet Trail yesterday. Jack had his Husky sweatshirt on and all that.
Right.
And a guy comes walking by in his Oregon gear, and I said, hey, Jack, you see that?
Really?
The enemy.
Really?
And the guy's laughing. It was funny.
Wow.
Had a good moment. Yeah, well.
Yeah, they're going to be in town.
Well, you know we always say when out-of-town teams are here, welcome.
Welcome. You're not saying that.
Welcome to Indiana, okay? Indiana, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Oregon.
Get on somewhere.
Yeah, get on. You guys can't even stay.
Get on somewhere.
Yeah, don't stay on my side of town, all right? You got to check in if you're staying in Smyrna, okay? Make a phone call. The Falcons play the Saints on Sunday.
Yeah, man.
Final game of the year. They're hot, Randy.
No, dog. They're
finishing hot.
They're finishing hot, man. Like fish grease, man. And, I mean, but hell, New Orleans coming this thing hot too.
Yeah,
now.
The two best teams in the NFC South,
pretty much right now. Yeah, that have no chance.
That are eliminated a month and a half ago.
They have no chance of winning. But no, I think it's gonna be a good game out of fact. I really, really do. But one more go round for this iteration of the Falcons, and then you know when we come back on the air on Monday, we should know something about you know where this organization is going forward.
We'll get back into that. We haven't done any of it, obviously, with the college football games last night in Georgia. In the noon hour, we'll spend some time on Sunday coming up at noon.
Come hang out with 99 The Game and Abe Gordon and Michelob Ultra for Atlanta Hawks watch party as they take on the Knicks tonight. 7:30 from Harvey and Shambly. Enter to win Hawks tickets or a $50 gift card to the Hawks shop. Their specials on Michelob Ultra must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
So, we're going to call Roddy coming up next. We haven't heard from him. Roddy, I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
New Orleans might have got the best of him last night.
Yeah, New Orleans, you know what I mean? New Orleans got him.
He might have. It's gotten some before. So we'll try to talk to Roddy from UGASports.com next. If we don't, then we'll just talk about some other stuff. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You ain't here yet. You need to be just fine.
All right, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Funk Friday, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle as we will look ahead to the final Sunday of the regular season, week 18. Falcons and Saints and all the rest of it. College football, corner, playoff reaction, bowl preview, all that kind of stuff at 12:20. We'll make some picks against the spread and some sports jeopardy at 12:40. Right into ball, see our normal guest at 11:40 on Fridays. Not a normal Friday.
What games we picking?
I don't know. I keep forgetting it's Friday, to be honest with you.
Yeah, dude, I'm all all screwed up right now, man. I'm just like, what is today? Oh, no, today is Friday. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, it was one of the things where I woke up this morning. I didn't wake up till damn near 8 o'clock. I was like, do I have to get up? Like, just thinking to myself, like, literally, do I have to get up?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, yesterday when I woke up, I was like, do I got to go to work?
Right.
Like, just all just thrown off yesterday. I was like, do I got to go to work? No, I'm good.
Yeah. I tell you, it was a
– yeah, it was pretty wild.
It was a weird week off because, you know, Christmas, everyone has Christmas off, right? But then you guys worked Friday. You worked did the Friday show the day next,
right? Yeah, me and Mike.
And then, right. And then it was the weekend. And then you and Abe did a couple shows together at the beginning of the week, but I did the Wade Ford show on Monday in the middle of the week off. And then it was New Year's Eve. We also didn't get to do the normal Christmas because Lily had the flu.
Right.
So we were that kind of felt like Christmas, but kind of didn't.
Right.
So that was confusing. And then my wife was off that week, and then I was off this week. And it's just been, I don't know. It's felt weird. I think I have to keep taking the week off between Christmas and New Year's just for childcare purposes,
right?
Because they're out of school, and
I
don't know. I don't know if I want to anymore.
I got a little excited on Tuesday when I came in and I saw your bag. I was like, Andy's back?
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you for teasing me like that.
Sorry
dude.
About that.
Yeah, whatever, man. I was like, Andy here?
Bubby Love, who's the nicest person in the universe, engineered the Wade Ford show on Monday night. And I didn't want to bring my bag into the game because I Ubered down there because we were going to hang out and all that. So he said he'd take it to the office for me. So he did. I know. I'm sure that was very confusing for everybody.
Very, like, why is this bag here? Damn tease. I was like, oh, bounce back?
Sorry about that.
You know, I was how this dude going to just do me like that, man?
So that was a cold broadcast on Monday night.
That was cold.
Good Lord. The wind, we're like in a wind tunnel on that steel bridge, and as the sun's going down, it was just freezing out there.
Oh, I bet.
And I'll say this, it was pretty good atmosphere in the building. Like, the Falcons fans came and got in
good. Like, it looked like on TV.
There wasn't anybody tailgating, that's for sure.
It's cold as hell.
I know.
Yeah, dog. That was when it was brick.
We're doing a tailgate show for just us. Me and Joe.
You and Joe Patrick out there freezing your ass off doing a tailgate show.
Because normally people are walking by and, like, we're above Centennial Yards, so people are kind of down there doing their thing.
Mm-mm.
I was like, is there a game today? Like, is there?
No, everybody else was in the building.
Because the last Monday night game we did was the Bills game, which is early in the year. It's warm, all that. There was so much. Bills fans were everywhere. Right. It was a huge feeling atmosphere. Like, we were there. I was like, we're here on the right day, right? There's a Monday night football game going on tonight, right? But it was a good atmosphere in the building, and they damn won.
Of course they won. How did you not know they were going to win? Yeah, you know they were going to win that damn game, man.
Their record is 12-4 over the last handful of years when they've been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Man.
When they are
crazy.
When they are
crazy.
When their season is over, they play their best.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Don't let it trick you.
It's crazy. Don't let what trick you.
Don't let that end of the season surge fool you.
Fool who?
Fool just whoever might be making decisions on the future of things.
Like, you're all in. You're all out.
Well, whatever they do, they do. I'm just saying, don't let these four games at the end be like, oh, all right.
What do you mean? They're playing well, Andy. They found their mojo. They found their rhythm.
Okay. Fine.
A little bit too late.
Well, no, it's not too late because they're still playing games.
Yeah, I mean, they got a game. They got a game.
As long as they're lining them up and kicking it off.
And obviously, it's going to be a great atmosphere. It is the Saints. I'm assuming, Bo, you going to the game? Okay, so Bo's going to be in the building and everything. I mean, and it is the Saints. It's going to be – what's the weather supposed to be like? So I'm sure the tailgate might be a little better this weekend.
Probably,
And so you get an opportunity to end your season the right way with a win against the Saints. Now, Monday we come in here, we'll figure out all that other stuff of what's going to happen and everything, because it's usually one of those things – I hate the word Black Monday, but it's usually you find out on Monday and everything.
What did we
like
change? We changed it on the show. We didn't call it that. We were calling it something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, remember that? Last year we were like, we don't like that term.
I don't like that term.
Yeah,
anyway,
so we're going to call it something else.
Pack up Monday.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It was pack like Monday. Moving Monday.
Yeah,
or
moving
something.
Monday. Or
U-Haul
something.
Monday.
Yeah,
or something
yeah.
Like
pack
that.
It up Monday or something like that, man. But I mean, yeah. I mean, he has a you know, and I you know you weren't here when we the word comes out about the whole Matt Ryan thing.
Yeah.
What's going on? I saw the Dolphins are doing something similar with Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't. I'm trying to think. What are you trying to get? A perspective on what?
He's
covered the league and played 30 years. He knows his league inside out. Right. He does.
Yeah.
What does that mean when it comes to what you're asking him to do? Are you asking him to, like, go find a GM? Or because that's my thing with Matt Ryan. I was like, well, Matt, you know, he does production meetings with these coaches and stuff, so I'm assuming he knows some, gets some good feelings and you know, from whatever these coaches are saying. He could put that to use. What is his role?
I don't know.
But, I mean, that's what my thing was like. Okay, if it were if we need to believe that hiring Matt Ryan is going to fix this organization, have at it. Believe that. I don't believe it.
Do whatever will.
But do whatever will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean
if it
what,
will.
What, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
great.
What?
I know. That was unfortunate. That was kind of like my –
yeah.
That was my most honest opinion when we talked about it on Monday on the Wade Ford show. I was like, I mean – what do you got to lose?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like
what do you got to lose?
I mean, this team has been in
if Matt Ryan comes in and it doesn't get better, all right, you kind of already
move
were
along.
There.
You yeah. move along to the next guy.
If it does, then cool. Then yeah. Matt Ryan was able to maybe accomplish something as an executive that he wasn't able to accomplish as a player.
Yeah.
And maybe he's motivated by that.
Maybe.
Maybe the fact that he was so close to the ultimate goal as a player and wants it so bad for Arthur Blank and for the fan base and all that stuff, maybe that's a motivator. I don't know. Like, I don't know that you can, like, want to your way to being a good general manager or front office person.
Right.
I don't think it's like, I'm just gonna grit my teeth and try a little harder than these other guys. I just think some people are better at it than other people are for a variety of reasons. But, yeah, I mean, look, if that's the fix that the franchise needs in order to get it over the top – awesome. I would love it. If Matt Ryan becomes whatever he would even become, I don't even know what his title would be.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is we don't even know what it is. Say he is president of football operations or whatever.
Right.
And he comes in and that's the fix, and they win a Super Bowl in 3 years, and Matt Ryan gets to host a Lombardi trophy. Great. Because then the Falcons win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hell, I don't even need no Super Bowl. I just want to play.
I know. Just give me baby steps.
Yeah, just do baby steps. I'm not talking about Super Bowl. No, let's just get that part right.
Let's break the playoff-less streak.
Yeah, how about that?
Because this is tied for the longest one in franchise history. This is that era again.
Yes.
That's where we are, with a nicer building.
Yeah, it's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
It was the amenities still there? Like, my main man, I love that dude. He said amenities like 20 times that one day.
I got a cheeseburger for $5.
There you go. Was it good?
On Monday? Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
And
they won.
And they won. Which was not surprised that they won the game. Just not surprised at all. And I won't be surprised they win on Sunday. And, I mean, we're trying to figure out what would be a surprise as far as where they go next with this organization. Because these moves, they're swift. You know what I mean? They're swift. They're like –
usually.
Yeah, they're usually swift. And
doesn't it feel like it would be them, though, to be like – we're going to take a big picture look at this. We're not going to rush to any decisions.
Yes.
And then, like, after a week and a half, they're like, all right, we're going to move on after all the other coaches have been snapped up.
Yeah, but
it's like, all right.
Yeah, but, I mean, luckily for them, you know, you have an opportunity to interview guys and because you have to wait till, what, the second round of playoffs before you can go out to other guys' coaches?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It is also interesting, like, say Matt Ryan does get the job in the front office. Like, do they then immediately, like, all right, you decide.
Yeah. Come on, you, Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, you let us know
what you
should do. All right, because you have interviewed these guys. You've been on TV. You've been around the league. You know this league, Matt.
But it's like they hire him Saturday, and it's like, all right, fire Raheem or don't.
Yeah.
That's up to you.
That's what I'm saying. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
That'd be wild. That'd be crazy as hell.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy as hell if he just comes in on Saturday, like Arthur goes up to him. Hey, Matt, what do you think I should do with this? Fire him. Yeah, fire him. Who are you going to hire? I don't know. Let's go get Joe Brady. Oh God, that just seems like such a Falcons hire. Freaking Joe Brady.
You don't like Joe Brady?
At this point, I don't even care. This one, somebody good. This win. I mean, that's why I remember I said like a month ago. I was like, I don't. When people would call up and say, "Who do you think the Falcons should hire coach?" I don't know. I know one thing. I know it should be Todd Munkin. Where's my man Ike? I know you had to listen. Ike said on the day before we left that that they should go get Stetson Bennett. It's mm-hmm. like, why? Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know.
I love Ike, man. Ike, he said it with conviction, too. Mm-hmm. No, listen here, Randy. Ike, come on, man. Go get Stetson Bennett. For what? Stetson Bennett is the third-team quarterback on his team.
Malik Willis played pretty good the other night, and everybody wants him.
But can you afford Malik Willis?
And again, for what?
For what? Like, you got a quarterback.
You have a quarterback.
You got a quarterback.
He's injured.
Yeah, but you got one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if Todd Munkin don't give the ball to Derrick Henry at least 25 times on Sunday night, he don't need a coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
watching Todd Munkin's track record in Baltimore, he won't.
Yeah.
They'll be doing all sorts of other stuff besides handing it to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, man.
Doing, like, you know, do the thing that got you to the point that you're at.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah. I'm not sure. But yeah, what I do feel pretty confident in is just because we kind of predicted it like a couple of weeks ago when the wheels fell off the tracks, was like, the Falcons will win Sunday. They'll finish 8-9. Mm-hmm. They'll have the same record as the other two teams.
Yeah, we're tied for the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing that they still have an impact on this damn race.
Well, yeah, what's going to be crazy is the Bucs will beat the Panthers on Saturday, right?
Yep.
And then they'll celebrate and be excited. But then the Falcons will win on Sunday, which will mean the Panthers get to go to the playoffs,
yes.
not the Bucs.
Yes.
And all three teams will finish 8-9.
Yes.
And again, that's what I mean. That's what I mean is just like be very holistic with your evaluation of 8-9. Don't just look at 4-0 or 8-9 and the other teams were 4-0.
Who are you talking to?
Whoever the people are that are making the decisions. Those people. The people that I've seen.
Who are you talking to right
the
now?
People that I've seen get romanced by a strong finish to the season.
Yeah.
And then tell us something that you've told me repeatedly does not exist.
Yes.
That the momentum of the finish will carry over to next year.
Because it don't.
Of course it won't. It's a bunch of new guys.
Yes.
Like, yes. Playing then, a bunch of other different
and
new
then you
teams.
Have, like, 7 months in between.
Yeah. If there's one thing, there's got to be one thing we all understand about the NFL is that every single year is a unique experience,
yes.
right?
Yes.
That's why every year there's 6 new teams in the playoffs and 6 new teams out of the playoffs. 7 head coaches get fired and 4 general managers get fired. And it's not for long. Everything changes over like that.
Yes.
Like, not to mention the fact that even your roster, the Falcons roster, is just going to look different week one next year than it will on Sunday this year because of free agency and all that stuff. I mean, roster turnover just is such a thing in the NFL. I'm just saying, just look at all of it.
Yeah.
Every single game equally. All of the games equally.
But it doesn't.
Every single one of
but
them
the team is
equally.
It's different, man. It's different. It's a different, you know, as far as, because it was fine. It was fine. It's that middle part that always gets this team. Mm-hmm. It's that middle 8. You know, that middle 8.
So half the year.
Yeah, yeah. It's that middle 8 where they'll go 3-5 or something like that.
Or 1-7. Seven, I think you know what I mean? One this
or
year.
1-7
yeah.
this year right there. But, I mean, Arthur Blank's going to have, you know, and I go back to certain things about coaching and hires and all those different things. I don't know who to tell you to hire as a general manager. I don't, because I don't know a lot of them like that. I know where you would think that you would go as far as organizations who have a strong front office, because there's always the guy under the guy. Who don't you want to lose? You know what I mean? When you're trying to talk about the head coaching part about it, I have no clue. I have no clue where you go in this cycle of head of coaches, because there's not, in my opinion, a guy who, like, head and shoulders, this is the number one whatever.
Yeah, there's no Vrabel, you know there's no Harbaugh.
You know, and I mean, and I don't buy into the –
unless one Harbaugh,
you know what I mean?
Available.
I don't buy into they're going to get rid of Jim. I mean, John.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, or the Mike Tomlin thing like that. So I'm like, well, who's the clear-cut top coach in this cycle?
Here's my thought, though, just because I'm with you. I don't know. If they decide to move on and replace GMs and coaches and stuff like that, I just hope they get the right people and we're having different conversations in the future.
Yes.
My issue just with some of the stuff that we've heard about what their process is going to be like is it's already kind of felt like a little bit of a muddy decision-making process when it comes time to hire a coach. It's like there's a panel of however many people, and maybe he wants him, and he talks him out of him, mm-hmm. and he wants him. From what you're hearing, it sounds like they're just bringing in more other people.
Yes.
Like the consulting firm is going to talk to him, and now Matt Ryan's maybe going to be a part of it. It's like just like more voices is what you need. Like, isn't there somebody who's just supposed to make these decisions?
You would think so, right?
Right?
Somebody's job would be
in charge of that.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. You would think, well, there is a guy who we don't know if he is the guy, but everybody wants him fired.
Because, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So who's going to be that guy? Because if it's going to be that guy who I don't know who he is, I know who everybody speculates it is.
Right.
Then what do you?
But if we're already there with it, who knows what it is?
Yeah.
Throwing more people in there is going to make it clearer.
Can't have too many cooks in the kitchen.
That's what they always
say.
They always say the best kitchens have the most cooks.
Not in this case.
No one says that. That's not what they say.
Yeah, not in this case.
The phrase is there's too many cooks
in
the kitchen.
Too many cooks in the damn
kitchen. And the Falcons are like, what we need is a couple more cooks. Let's get some more cooks.
Yeah.
And this guy's not even ever been a cook before. He was good at, I don't know.
He was good at waiting.
He's like the maitre d'.
Yeah, the maitre d'. He was good at greeting.
We're getting a little bogged down in the metaphor, but you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. Hey, don't forget, you can always listen to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps. It's free 24 hours a day and 7 days a week.
More cooks. Just give me more cooks.
Yeah, man. You know? Let's have a chef off.
Exactly. Let's make it like that that baking show. You know, everybody's competing.
The cooking show.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Iron Chef? I don't know. I've never watched any of these things, but I'm sure there's one out there that fits the bill. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.